Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, second chapter, the Lord in the Heart, text number 5. Chirani kim patina santi dishanti viksham.
Chirani kim patina santi dishanti viksham.
Naivam gripa parabrita sarito pyashushyam.
Naivam gripa parabrita sarito pyashushyam.
Ruda guha kim ajito vatino pasannan.
Ruda guha kim ajito vatino pasannan.
Kasmad bhajanti kavayo dana durmadhanda.
Kasmad bhajanti kavayo dana durmadhanda.
Chirani.
Chirani.
Torn clothes.
Torn clothes.
Kim.
Kim.
Weather.
Weather.
Pati.
Pati.
On the road.
On the road.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Santi.
Santi.
Not shanti. Santi.
Santi.
There is.
There is.
Dishanti.
Dishanti.
Giving charity.
Giving charity.
Bhiksham.
Bhiksham.
Alms.
Alms.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Eva.
Eva.
Also.
Also.
Angripaha.
Angripaha.
The trees.
The trees.
Parabritoho.
Parabritoho.
One who maintains others.
Saritaha.
Saritaha. The rivers.
The rivers.
Api.
Api.
Also.
Also.
Ashushya.
Ashushya.
Have dried up.
Ruddaha.
Ruddaha. Closed.
Guha.
Guha.
Caves.
Kim.
Kim.
Weather.
Weather.
Achitoho.
Achitoho.
The Almighty Lord.
Avati,
give protection.
Give protection.
Na,
na,
not.
Not.
Upasanna, the surrendered soul.
Kasma,
what for then?
Bhajanti,
flatters.
Flatters.
Kavayoho,
kavayoho,
the learned.
Learned.
Dhana,
dhana,
wealth. Durmada
andhan,
too intoxicated by. Translation of Prabhupada by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki. Are there no torn clothes lying on the common road? Do the trees, which exist for maintaining others, no longer give alms in charity? Do the rivers, being dried up, no longer supply water to the thirsty? Are the caves of the mountains now closed? Or above all, does the Almighty Lord not protect the fully surrendered souls? Why then do the learned sages go to flatter those who are intoxicated by hard-earned wealth? Purport. The renounced Lord of life is never meant for begging or living at the cost of others as a parasite. According to the dictionary, a parasite is a sycophant who lives at the cost of society without making any contribution to the society. The renounced order is meant for contributing something substantial to society and not depending on the earnings of the householders. On the contrary, acceptance of alms from the householders by the bona fide mendicant is an opportunity afforded by the saint for the tangible benefit of the donor. In the Sanatana Dharma institution, almsgiving to the mendicant is part of the householder's duty, and is advised in the scriptures that the householder should treat the mendicants as their family children and should provide them with food, clothing, etc., without being asked. Sudha mendicants, therefore, should not take advantage of the charitable disposition of the faithful householders. The first duty of a person in the renounced order of life is to contribute some literary work for the benefit of the human being in order to give him realized direction to toward self-realization. Amongst the other duties in the renounced order of life, Shila Sanatan, Shila Rupa, and the other Goswamis of Vrindavan, the foremost duty discharged by them was to hold learned discourses amongst themselves at Seva Kunja, Vrindavan, the spot where Sri Radha Damodar temple was established by Sri Jiva Goswami, and where the actual Samadhi tombs of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami are laid. For the benefit of all in human society, they left behind them immense literatures of transcendental importance. Similarly, all the Acharyas who voluntarily accepted the renounced order of life aimed at benefiting human society and not at living a comfortable or irresponsible life at the cost of others. However, those who cannot give any contribution should not go to the householders for food, for such mendicants asking bread from the householders are an insult to the highest order. Sugadeva Goswami gave this warning especially for those mendicants who adopt this line of profession to solve their economic problems. Such mendicants are in abundance in the age of Kali. When a man becomes a mendicant, willfully or by circumstances, he must be of firm faith and conviction that the Supreme Lord is the maintainer of all living beings everywhere in the universe. Why then would he neglect the maintenance of a surrendered soul who is 100% engaged in the service of the Lord? A common master looks to the necessities of his servant. So how much more would the all-powerful, all-opulent Supreme Lord look after the necessities of life for a fully surrendered soul? The general rule is that the mendicant devotee will accept a simple, small loincloth without asking anyone to give it in charity. He simply salvages it from the rejected torn cloth thrown in the street. When he's hungry, he may go to a magnanimous tree which drops fruits, and when he's thirsty, he may drink water from the flowing river. He does not require to live in a comfortable house, but should find a cave in the hills and not be afraid of jungle animals, keeping faith in God, who lives in everyone's heart. The Lord may dictate to tigers and other jungle animals not to disturb his devotee. Haridas Thakur, a great devotee of Lord Sri Chaitanya, used to live in such a cave. And by chance... excuse me. And by chance, a great venomous snake was a co-partner of the cave. Some admirer of Thakur Haridas, who had to visit the Thakur every day, feared the snake and suggested that the Thakur leave that place. Because his devotees were afraid of the snake and they were regularly visiting the cave, Thakur Haridas agreed to the proposal on their account. But as soon as this was settled, the snake actually crawled out of its hole in the cave and left the cave for good before everyone present. By the dictation of the Lord, who lived also in the heart of the snake gave preference to Haridas and decided to leave the place and not disturb him. So this is a tangible example of how the Lord gives protection to a bona fide devotee like Thakur Haridas. According to the regulations of the Sanatan Dharma Institution, one is trained from the beginning to depend fully on the protection of the Lord in all circumstances. The path of renunciation is recommended for acceptance by one who is fully accomplished and fully purified in his existence. This stage is described also in the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, text number 5, as Daivi Sampat. A human being is required to accumulate Daivi Sampat, or spiritual assets. Otherwise, the next alternative, Asuri Sampat, or material assets, will overcome him disproportionately. And thus, one will be forced into entanglement of different miseries of the material world. A sannyasi should always live alone without company, and he must be fearless. He should never be afraid of living alone, although he's never alone. The Lord's residing in everyone's heart, and unless one is purified by the prescribed process, one will feel that he is alone. But a man in the renounced order of life must be purified by the process. Thus he will feel the presence of the Lord everywhere, and will have nothing to fear, such as being without any company. Everyone can become a fearless and honest person If his very existence is purified by discharging the prescribed duty for each and every order of life, one can become fixed in one's prescribed duty by faithful oral reception of Vedic instructions and assimilations of the essence of Vedic knowledge by devotional service to the Lord. Chirani kimpati nasanti dishanti biksham naivam gripa parabrita saritopya shushyan ruddha guha kimachito vatinopasannan kasmad bhajanti kavayodana durmadandhan. Are there nor torn clothes lying on the common road? Do the trees, which exist for maintaining others, no longer give alms in charity? Do the rivers, being dried up, no longer supply water to the thirsty? Are the caves of the mountains now closed? Or above all, does the Almighty Lord not protect the fully surrendered souls? Why then do the learned sages go to flatter those who are intoxicated by hard-earned wealth? Om Ajnana Tivarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Viditam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gada Mayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shalam Pangum Nagayate Girim Yat Kripadam Aham Vande Sri Guru Dinatharanam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Vanchakal Patarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. The blessings of our seniors. This is a rhetorical question. Shukadev Goswami is asking these rhetorical questions because his student was very intelligent. Parikshit Maharaj, not only an emperor, not only a king, but a Rajarshi, a saintly king, Raja Rishi, which is, he's a saint amongst kings. He was so trained and so intelligent that he could immediately grasp the line of questioning or the line of presentation of Shukadev Goswami. So Shukadev Goswami here is speaking about the lifestyle or the practice of mendicants. There are different types of mendicants. Mostly nowadays we encounter the beggars. They have been this fortunate, they have been bereft of opulence. So we find them in many places asking for alms, asking for charity, in most of the countries of the world. Do you have beggars in Australia? Otherwise you should import some, because it's a new, you know, a new career option, which you do not have yet. Yeah. But they're all over the place. There are people who feel that they're destitute, they do not have any occupation, they do not have any luck, they're out of luck in life. So they just sit on the side of the road with a cup or a can or a plate, or they go around people asking for bakshish, bakshish. They want a contribution. But these are not the saintly type of beggars. These are people who are usually less educated, they're less skilled and trained. So they simply depend on the mercy of others for their subsistence. But the Goswamis are of a different type. Tyaktva turna masheshala mandala pati shrinim sada tuchava. They came from highly aristocratic backgrounds. Rupan Sanatan were the state and finance minister of the Nawab Hussein Shah. They were the top people in the government at that time. But they gave up everything to simply dress in loincloth, rejected clothes. Not only cheap clothes, but free. Huh? Free gift. They do not ask anybody. From the refuse, from where things are discarded, they will salvage. They will pick up some torn rejected clothes. Just like, you know, when your dhoti or your sari is torn, when something is not repairable, and people throw it out. So from that throw out, rejected cloth, they would simply, from some dhoti, they would simply make some simple kopin, some loincloth, small chadar, and that is the way how they would dress themselves. But not because of material poverty, but because they had voluntarily embraced the renounced order of life and accepted to live in a poverty-stricken condition, what looks like a very undesirable situation. Nowadays in this world, if people can have nice clothing, if they can have nice residence, nice conveyances and nice food, they're considered to be very successful in life. And everybody is trying to show to others how well-to-do they are, what is the status quo that they have achieved. But we understand, that your lifestyle is exactly according to your karma. You can be as affluent as you want. If it is not your karma, you will not be able to enjoy any of it. Just like some days, there is a great feast, but you're feeling slightly under the weather. You're sick. So you cannot eat and you cannot enjoy any of it. And at other days, even though you may be a beggar, by the good luck of fortune, you may come to a great feast. Has it ever happened to you? Huh? That somehow you just happen to be at the right place at the right time? Ta-da! Voila! Huh? So, and other times... Anyhow, the point is clear. So, the Goswamis, they are not interested in spending any time or effort of the material pursuits because their only aspiration, their only ambition is to serve and satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is explained here as Ajita. Ajita, Ajitopi. Ajita means the unconquered, the unconquerable. Asamordva. He's not equal and he's not surpassed. So Krishna is known as Ajita. Nobody has conquered Krishna. In all times, you do not find anybody who has conquered Krishna. Even though you may have the history in Srimad Bhagavatam, how Krishna is also known as Ranchor, the one who is fleeing from the battlefield. But he did that for a specific purpose. And his so-called enemy was conquered by his devotee, Muchukunda. So he's unconquered. That is Krishna's nature. So Krishna has unlimited potencies and opulences. And one of them is his akinchana gochara. He becomes the property of those who do not claim anything their own, who do not claim any proprietorship in this world. Now we can introspect and make a little inventory. What do I still consider mine in this world? What is still my property? My house, my family, my wealth, my. I, me, and mine. This is the regular blues that we hear in this world. It is all very much I-conscious. But the Goswamis, they're of a different type. He Radhe Vraja Devike Chalalite He Nanda Sunakutaha. They're simply looking to please Krishna, to follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis. They simply want to render service and give pleasure to Krishna. Never you find them in this I, me, and mine consciousness. Now, Prabhupada makes a very interesting point here in the purport. He's saying that whether somebody has... Where is that? Whether voluntarily or by... You remember that part? There are two types of people. Yeah. Or by circumstance. So some people have voluntarily renounced... and other people's by circumstance. Just like, for instance, Vidura. Vidura was living in the palace, and by circumstance, he was insulted. So he took this as a sign, as an indication to give up the palace life. So he left everything behind, his royal cloth, his bow, and he went on pilgrimage. For 20 years, Vidura was on pilgrimage. For a very long time. Because he, by circumstance, had met a situation which showed him that it is time to head out of the comfortable situation. Another time, a rich merchant was in the marketplace, and one village woman was telling to a relative, it is time to go home. And that rich merchant, he heard that, it's time to go home, and it sparked something in his heart. So he left everything and went to Vrindavan. Because he understood, it's time to go home. We got to go home now. So he left everything behind and went to Vrindavan. So, Srila Prabhupada explains about Daivi Sampat and Asuri Sampat. Spiritual assets or adhikar, or demoniac assets or adhikar. They're explaining Bhagavad Gita in the 16th chapter. What are the divine qualities and what are the demoniac qualities? The divine qualities, we know, they're the saintly qualities of persons who are dedicated to truth and to virtue. Shamo damastapa shocham kshantir arjavamevacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma subhavajam. These are the characteristics, the qualities of a Brahman. Brahma janititi brahmana. A Brahman knows Brahman and he worships Brahman. So these are the saintly qualities, truthfulness, purifications of one's existence, being knowledgeable, being renounced, being compassionate, merciful, and tolerant. These are the divine qualities. And then, of course, namanguskritino mudha prapadyante naradama asuram maya paritagyanam asuram bhavam ashrita. The four categories of demoniac living entities are also described. The lowest of the men, the people who are always dedicated to unclean habits, pravrittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidurasura na saucham na pichacharo na satyam teshu vidite. You don't find cleanliness, you don't find virtue, you don't find good behavior or good character in them. They'll always do the opposite. If the devotees say white, they will say black. If the devotees say black, they will say white. Just as a matter of routine, like that. Did you ever meet such a person who will always disagree with you just out of principle? It's quite interesting. It's like reverse psychology that you can use on children. They will always do the opposite. And if you know that, you can sometimes trick them into devotional service just by using that reverse psychology. But then you have to be careful because usually they will revert back. They will catch it later on and revert back to their asuri sampat, to their demoniac qualities. So, the point of this verse is that the sages, the mendicants, the people who are trying to pursue spiritual practice should not endeavor for material things. For these things, they are easily supplied by Mother Nature. We do not have to struggle for them. There is naturally abundance of food, of shelter, of clothing. So we do not have to struggle for these things. You ask anybody, my dear sir, why are you going to work at 5 o'clock in the morning? Oh, I need to make money. Why do you need to make money? So I can buy nice suit, nice dress. Why do you need nice suit, nice dress? So I can go to work. Ah, that's a circular argument. We do not accept this logic. That's a faulty logic. It's not acceptable. So, we're all in pursuit of happiness. But what is happiness? What is actual wealth? The Goswamis left all so-called material happiness and so-called material wealth behind because they had the greatest wealth of bhakti, the treasure of love for Krishna. We know that Sanatana Goswami had a touchstone, a philosopher's stone. And there's that famous story of one person coming to Sanatana and telling him, "My dear sir, I've heard that you have this touchstone. Can you give it to me?" He was begging from a beggar. That's a very interesting scenario. We have the same experience sometimes when we approach devotees for charity. It is the most difficult thing to do, right? To ask from somebody who says, "Not only I already gave at the office, but I already given my life. Now you also want my money? Huh? What is this?" If you ever had that experience, it's a very interesting experience. One time, one devotee persuaded me, Gaura Lila Prabhu, when I distributed the most amount of books 1 year, then he said that this is okay, but it's not good enough. You have to give a special gift to Radha Madhava and Panchatattva by collecting one of their outfits. So he suggested the method I do was Madhukari, that I go around from the devotees collecting money. And whoa, I thought, no problem. It's easy, you know, it's just $3,500 or whatever it was then, almost 2 lakhs. I thought, you know, I can do this in no time. But I was in for a rough surprise. Because if you go and beg from beggars, you will get quite a lot of realization about the nature of begging. Just like when the coward boys went begging to the Brahmins, they were rejected. And they came back to Krishna and said, they were very disappointed because full of enthusiasm they went there to beg food for Krishna and Balaram, who were hungry. Their worshipful Lord was hungry. They wanted to feed Krishna and Balaram. But they were rejected. So when they came, Krishna said, when you go begging, you have to know, rule number one, you will be rejected. You will be turned down. Not everybody will give. Now sometimes we think, in the same way as the cowboys were thinking, our cause is just. It's an honorable cause. Everybody will agree and will give. No, they won't. Why not? Because that is the nature of this activity. Because this activity is so wonderful that you can get free from all your misconceptions of life, from all your bodily concept of life, from all your confusion and aspirations and mundane attitudes. You will become utterly purified. That's why it is recommended. And Krishna Balaram told them, go to the Brahmin's wives. They're more favorably disposed to me. But don't tell them that it is me who has sent you. Why not? Because Krishna knew that they were so soft-hearted that when they heard that their worshipful Lord is hungry, they would feel pain. It would give them agony to feel that Krishna is in need. So I went around and knocked on everyone's door. I started on the top of the conch building and on the top of the lotus building. So that's a strategy which in fundraising is considered most successful top down. You know, you start with the top person and then you work your way down the food chain to the different guest houses and different dormitories. I did not do the Gauranga Nityananda Kutirs. Because already working long building became quite, halfway through, I was already quite desperate. Because especially when you go and you beg from sannyasis, you hear a lot of interesting stories. And you can try. And then, of course, we also did the Grihastha area, the householder quarters, and where all the residents live, like that. So it was a very interesting experience. By Krishna's mercy, finally, somehow, we managed, through the following the the verdict of beg, borrow, or steal, but somehow or other get the job done. But it was quite an interesting experience. So when he begged from Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana, being a true renunciate, he said, yeah, it's over there in the garbage pile. Just go pick it up. It's no problem. No worries, mate. So that man was very happy. He went and he got his touchstone. And he walked away very happily because a touchstone, a philosopher's stone, any metal you touch to it turns into gold. How much is gold selling now? 14,000? 1,400 an ounce. How much is that for a kilo? We don't have any traders, gold merchants. It's very expensive. About $50,000 for a kilo of gold. So, it's quite a lot of money. And can you imagine, you touch it to any metal and boom, voila, it's gold. You take it, you put it to this microphone stand and all of a sudden you got, yeah, about 2 kilos of gold. 100 grand. Right before breakfast. That'd be something, wouldn't it? So, everybody wants to have that touchstone. But that man was actually intelligent. So he pondered for a moment and thought, why did Sanatana just give me this touchstone so freely? And why did he keep it in the garbage? Garbage means throw out. It means rejected. It means the worst kind of stuff you have, you put it in the garbage. But I want the best. So he came back. And he said, my dear sir, I think I've been cheated here. I want to claim a refund. I want to give this back and get what is most valuable from you. Sanatana said, very good. But first you have to throw this into the Jamuna. So he did. Why he did? Because he had faith. He had Shraddha. He had that faith that this person is for real. He's not cheating me. He actually has got the goods and he can deliver the goods. And Sanatana Goswami gave him Purushartha Shiromani, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The most valuable gift, the most valuable and precious jewel in all the 14 worlds, the holy name of Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Abhinnatvam Nama Namino Chintamani. We all know from Brahma Samhita, Chintamani Prakarasatma Sukalpa Vriksha, and so on. In the spiritual world, the buildings are made from Chintamani. Not only one touchstone, but the entire buildings are made from touchstone. It's like common brick. People are not bothered by it. Are you bothered by bricks or stones? No, you're not. That means they have a higher standard of happiness, a higher level of wealth and opulence than what we consider wealth here. Everyone in this world is madly trying to amass some wealth. Srila Prabhupada said, the Indians, they're after wealth because that's their weakness. And the Westerners, they're after sense enjoyment, which culminates in sex life. That is their weakness. But everybody is after something. So we should ask ourselves, what am I after? What is my motivation? Once Srila Prabhupada came to England and they asked him, what is the purpose of your visit to this country? Why have you come? And it's quite funny because that question is being asked so many times. And when you travel a bit, you always have to chuckle because it's actually a very good question. What is your motivation for coming to this place?
Why have you come here? What is the purpose of your visit to Australia or to the United States of America? Now, when Prabhupada was asked, the man said, we have got culture, we have religion, we have all these things. So why have you come here? Srila Prabhupada said that the British were in India for such a long time and they looted so much wealth, especially when they left. But they forgot to take the most valuable jewel. So I've come to give you this priceless knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. This Purushartha Shiromani, this most precious treasure of Bhagavad Gita. Because you forgot to take it when you were in our place. You know, like when you travel, sometimes you forget something behind. You leave a gamsha or some place of garment. And, you know, again, I left something like that. But we have left this most precious treasure. We have left Krishna because we wanted to enjoy separate from Him. And thus we came to this material world looking for enjoyment separate from Krishna. And thus we have become utterly disfortunate. We become destitute. We become poverty stricken. Even though we've been in a situation of Chintamani, we came to this place, which is a rather degraded, a rather poverty stricken place. It is very barren, if you look around, the material world. It is a very boring place. Of course the living entity thinks, oh, if I just move from here to there, then enjoyment will happen. I will go on a holiday and I will be happy. But it's a big illusion. It doesn't happen just because you move from one place to the other. As they have the saying, if you go to Bengal, your fortune goes with you. Like the trend was to either go to Vrindavan or to go to Bengal. So a lot of wealthy people, a lot of merchants, when they were getting into their years of vanaprastha, they think, okay, let me leave my shop and go to a holy place. But your wealth follows you unless you accept this highest gift, this highest treasure of Krishna's holy name and of service to Krishna. I was once in South India and one Ayurvedic doctor, Dr. Madhusudan Kamat, he is an interesting fellow because when I gave him Prabhupada's books, he stood up, he took off his shoes, he had a lot of holes in his socks. He was a bachelor, of course. And he took the books and held them to his head, and then he gave me 101 rupees for Prabhupada's few small books like that. And we'd have many interesting discussions. And one of them, he was saying that everybody in this world is lying and cheating and stealing and doing all sorts of sinful things just to gain some wealth, just to gain a few friends, just to become acceptable and respectable in society. People are doing utterly illegal and dangerous things, risking their lives every day, just to gain wealth. You may say, no, I'm an honorable citizen, I don't do like that. Well, you're commuting, you're driving around in your car, that means you're risking your life every day. Every day of the year, you're risking your life. Padam padam yadvipadam natesham. How many car crashes have you seen? How many car crashes have you been part of? Or near death experiences caused by dangers on the road? So, he said that even though this is a fact, everybody is trying so hard for wealth, for reputation, and for friendship. But he said, all you need in this world is five friends. Do you want to know what are those five friends? Are you sure? Okay. So, he said, all you actually need in this world is four people to carry the stretcher and one person to light the fire. And those five fellows, they're already waiting for you at the right place at the right time. You don't have to lie, cheat, steal, impress, coerce, manipulate. Because these five people are already, They're already waiting for you at the right place. They're already there. So that puts us in a very advantageous position. We do not have to do any of these things. We can simply dedicate ourselves to the service of Guru and Krishna. So in this wonderful purport, Srila Prabhupada has given a mirab, a complete picture of the entire outlay of the Krishna conscious philosophy. And he concludes that everyone can become a fearless and honest person if his very existence is purified by discharging the prescribed duty for each and every order of life. Amongst all the miseries that we are facing in this world, bhaya, or fear, is very prevalent. From the little bird, which is afraid, pecking its worm, down to the merchant, up to the kings, who are trying to protect their interests. Fear is very prevalent. But if you want to become fearless, we should take shelter. Abhaya charana ravindure. We should take shelter at the lotus feet of that person who's become fearless because he has taken shelter of Krishna. So when we take shelter in the boat of the lotus feet, which means the instruction of the spiritual master, we can actually become fearless. Nrideha madhyam sulabam sudurlabam plavam sukalpam guru karna dharam mayanukulena nabhasvateritam pumam bhavabdim natareca atmaha. Only an atmaha, a person who is the killer of the self or the killer of animals, will not accept the shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Now, guru karna dharam, this boat, this shelter is available by attentive hearing, because it is a boat which is not a physical boat, but the boat is the instructions of the spiritual master. So by attentive hearing, we can take that boat and cross over the ocean of material birth and death. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukha roshanu darshanam. This bhavasagar, this ocean of fear and of misery, can be crossed by taking shelter of the boat of the instruction of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada said the first duty of a mendicant or of a renunciate is to leave behind literature which is for the upliftment of human society. Now, Srila Prabhupada has shown us the perfect example of this. He resided in Vrindavan. He was simply writing Srimad Bhagavatam, publishing Back to Godhead magazine, and going out himself, getting it printed in the heat of Delhi. How hot is Delhi in the summer? 45, 47, sometimes 50. Very hot. Congested. A lot of people there. Prabhupada went there alone. Many times he took the train and then he saved the bus fare. He walked. By foot. Nowadays, who would walk? Even if you go two blocks, people don't want to walk. They want to take car. Prabhupada walked. Talking to people in tea stalls, in shops, on the road. Please, have a look. Take this magazine. People were saying, no time. He made this article, no time. The disease of the modern man. They have no time. But then again, people are so much bored that they actually have too much time. They don't know what to do with it. That's why they invented all these video games. Do you know that the gaming industry is making more money than the movies? And the music industry put together? Why? Because people are bored out of their freaking minds. They don't know what to do with their time. So they're trying to kill time by pressing some buttons. But time is killing everybody. You try to kill time, but time is killing you. So we should not waste any time. but taking this process seriously. So Srila Prabhupada, he stayed in Vrindavan, exact same spot where the Goswamis were holding their learned discourses on the philosophy and practice of Krishna consciousness, where Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami would daily have discourses on Krishna Katha. In that very same place Prabhupada resided, Radha Damodar, Seva Kunj. And he wrote his Bhaktivedanta purports. So if you just read first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, your life will become changed. It is so potent, it is so highly infected with Krishna consciousness that simply coming in touch with it slightly will change your life. It's like people are very much afraid of radiation. You remember in Japan when that reactor thing happened? And everybody was, woo, now, this is the big one. What if Japan goes down? It will affect the whole world. It's still happening, yeah. They just try to cover it up with a lot of concrete. But it's still happening, it's still going on. You always hear how politicians or certain spies, they get killed. Somebody comes and pokes them with the ominous umbrella. And then the tip, there is some radioactive substance which gets injected into the body. Yeah. But we have all become injected with this radioactive nuclear waste of Ishvara Bhav, of trying to be the enjoyers and controllers. And it has polluted our consciousness, it has polluted our bloodstream, our mind, our heart. So when people ask us, why are you still chanting Hare Krishna? Why are you still distributing Prabhupada's books? Oh, I have to take my medicine. Because this is the medicine, the antidote against Bhavaroga, against this materialistic consciousness. So people who come in contact with Srila Prabhupada's books, their lives can change in an instant. One time I was distributing books in a train station and I met a drunk person, and usually we try to avoid them, but this person, there was nobody else there, so I talked to him and he looked at the books and he said, "Oh, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I have this one, this one, this one, this one, this one." Yeah? So I took a few more books. So you never know who you meet. Yeah? The time I drove in the morning at 4 o'clock to the airport in Krasnodar, South Russia, and we stopped at a red light, and also a homeless person came to the car. It was kind of 4 o'clock in the morning, nobody in the street. There's a red light, only one car. And a homeless person just walks up and knocks on the window and asks for charity. So we opened down the window, gave him prasadam and said Hare Krishna. And he said Hare Ram. The window closed and we drove up. And we knew Prabhupada was here. Huh? Prabhupada was already here because the devotees have been distributing prasadam. They've been distributing the holy name. They've been distributing Prabhupada's books. So Prabhupada explains here in this purport that to become fearless is very important. As long as we have fear, if there's fear, there is no peace. And if there's no peace, there can't be any happiness. And if we're not actually peaceful, we cannot happily worship Krishna. If we're in anxiety, in a fearful state of mind, we cannot really take shelter of Krishna. Because we continuously think, hey, I have to juggle this situation. There is something that's disturbing me. Just like when, who was it? Shivananda Sena's son became upset because Lord Nityananda had kicked Shivananda Sena. So when he came to Puri, he left early, he just went in front. And he came in Mahaprabhu's presence, he was still wearing his coat and all the traveling gear. And the devotees said, no, this is not proper. You cannot come in front of the Lord like this. Because when you go and you face the Lord, you should not wear coats and shoes and, you know, traveling gear. But Mahaprabhu said, no, it's okay, it's alright, because his mind is disturbed. He's he's upset. So don't bother him anymore. Just let him come to me. In the same way, when we're upset, when we're disturbed, we cannot really take shelter of Krishna and worship him with a pure heart. So it's important that we situate ourselves in a position where we feel secure. But if we base our security on all these artificial things which are not really necessary, then we cannot fully take shelter because we will never feel secure. There will always be some lacking. There will always be some anxiety. Just like when people come to a new country, initially the anxiety is, will I be accepted? Will I get my permanent residence? Will I get my job? Will I get my food? Have you ever had these thoughts? Then later on you have a passport and you have your own house and you may have two cars, but is the anxiety less? You tell me. No. It's not less. Why? Because it's the nature of Maya. It just goes on and on and on and on. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartino arjuna. Indra is in anxiety. Some yogi is performing austerity. He may be after my job. He wants my job. I have to deviate him from his dedication, from his austerity. Otherwise, I will be out of job and he will take my position. So you may be in heaven. I'm in heaven. You may think I'm in heaven, but you'll always be disturbed by how much the other people have. Oh, they've got it better than me. Oh, I have to wait. Because first is premier executive and business class boarding. You're not holding the right card, you're not holding the right passport, okay, back, end of the line. So who says we're in a classless society? Now, for a devotee that's not important. Because the point here is fearlessness. What to do to become fearless? Only when we take shelter at the lotus feet of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami can we actually become fearless. Because we'll become free from all these unwanted things. We will not identify, we will not strive and struggle in his mad rat race. But we should find out what is actually valuable. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in all the 14 worlds, there's only the holy name of Krishna. Service to the Vaishnavas. Nam Ruchi. Vaishnav Seva. And Jiva Doya. And to show kindness to all living entities. This is real wealth. This is real opulence. This is what we should be striving for. This is the real Chintamani. And if we have this Chintamani, anyone you touch with it, they will change. You will see it. They will change. It is inevitable because this process is very powerful. Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain that we can become fearless and honest if our existence is purified by discharging the prescribed duty for each and every order of life. Every order of life has a certain duty, certain set of rules. So since fearlessness and honesty is essential, we should take this to heart and follow our prescribed rules. Because nowadays in Kali Yuga, everything is upside down. You know, the sannyasis have all the money, the householders are beggars. The vanaprastas, they're making plans for economic development and sense gratification. And the brahmacharis are not clean and not obedient and not interested in their studies. So everything is slightly upside down, topsy-turvy. But if we want peace and happiness, if we want to become honest and fearless, we have to follow the prescribed rules for our ashram. Otherwise, there will be difficulties. We can become fixed in our prescribed duty by faithful oral reception of Vedic instructions
An assimilation of the essence of Vedic knowledge by devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So Srila Prabhupada has given us this highest esoteric knowledge. Rajavidyam, Rajaguyam, Pavitram idam uttamam, Pratyakshavagamam dharmam, Susukam kartumavyam. This highest, most confidential knowledge, which formerly was spoken to kings, to highly intelligent, educated people, it has become freely available by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, even to the common man. So this is Srila Prabhupada's legacy. This is his great contribution to humanity at large, that he has taken Vyasadeva's quintessence of Vyasadeva's knowledge, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and he has made it accessible to every person in this world. You know that formerly only Brahmins were allowed to study the Vedas? Which means most of us are out of luck. Any born Brahmins? Very few. And even those, how many of them are actually qualified and find a proper teacher? But by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have gotten this opportunity. We have gotten this touchstone. But if we are not treasuring it, if we are not holding it as valuable, if we have traded it in for something inferior, just like they used to go to the American Indians and to the Aborigines, and they used to give them pieces of glass and all different types of things in exchange for real jewels and gold. Those people would think, oh, this looks very nice. This is, looks, you know, beautiful. So many different colors like that. So they got cheated because they did not know what was actually valuable. So the Sangam of devotees is here to remind us of what is actually important, what is actually valuable. That is Srila Prabhupada's gift to us, this society of devotees. Now, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is growing, and thousands and millions of people are becoming in contact with Krishna through these books, through Harinam, through Prasadam. So, we are all sitting here today because somebody is dropping continuous drops of nectar on our heads. You all know where your nectar, of your fountain of nectar is, right? We all get that. But sometimes we may think, oh, I'm alone. I'm destitute. Nobody is here to help me. Nobody cares about me. But that's not true. Because Srila Prabhupada is always available and always accessible. In his teachings, in his movement, in his devotees. So, a mendicant never thinks he's alone. That's why he should be fearless. He can be in the forest, but he knows Krishna is in the heart. Not only in my heart, but in the heart of every living entity. So the wild animals, they will not bother me, because Krishna is there and he directs their path. Now if he directs the path of the tiger to eat me, well, that is his prerogative. One time my spiritual master was living with a sadhu in the forest, and the sadhu was saying that there is a man-eating tiger which is roaming the forest, and everybody's very afraid of it. And the sadhu was carrying a little stick. So my guru asked him, why are you carrying this little stick? What do you think this stick will do to protect you from the tiger? He said, no, it will not do nothing. I know Krishna is the only person who can protect me. But I should show to Krishna that I'm also doing my part. We know everything is dependent on Krishna's and Radhavallabha's mercy. But we should try to do our part. Even though everything is in their hands, we have to make our small effort, our small endeavor. So real fearlessness can only be achieved when we have no attachments, when we have no sense of proprietorship
It doesn't mean you have no possessions. You can have possessions, but not the sense of proprietorship. We should feel I'm the caretaker. I'm not the owner. This is not my property. I'm taking care on behalf of Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada has taught us this by his own example. Like we heard yesterday in wonderful class, Prabhu was saying how Srila Prabhupada said, the hut is for me. And his wonderful guest house is for all of you. Because that's what you need. That's suitable for you. Because that's your background. That's your situation. But for me, I'm happy in this hut. Now whether you live in a palace, or you live in a hut, or you live under a tree, that is not so much of importance. The importance is, what is the nature of our activity? Are we absorbed in Krishna Katha? Are we absorbed in bhajan? Are we absorbed in preaching? Otherwise, if you live under a tree and you're only absorbed in aha nidra bhaya maitunang cha, then you're just a monkey. Because that's what the monkeys also do. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending all day long. That's their business. So just the tree life will not make you a sadhu. So Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he was staying in palatial buildings, like when he was here in Melbourne. And sometimes he would stay in Bhuvaneshwar, in a jungle, in a small hut, with Gaur Govinda Maharaj. But the nature of the sadhu is that he doesn't change. It's not that the externals, the situation, will corrupt or will thwart his mind, his consciousness, his intentions. But because we are, what's the word that's being used? The living entity is quivering. We're quivering because we're tatasta, we're very small, so we're attracted to material energy. And we tend to become shaky because of our attraction to material energy. So that can be mitigated by taking the medicine of Harinam. Harinam Sankirtan, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. This process of purifying the heart is the most powerful medicine with which we can actually reduce this material fever, this material consciousness. Well, we should also try, somehow or other, to keep our material situation on a modest, on a on a frugal level, to dedicate more time, more energy, more effort for Krishna's service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Any questions? Yes.
You mentioned the relationship with Guru, disciple and Guru. We should take shelter of Guru. Could you please, maybe from your own experience, say how you should stick to the Guru's instructions with the experience?
Srila Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj has left this world 40 years ago, but there has not been one moment where I do not feel his presence. In other words, Srila Prabhupada was always conscious of the instructions of his spiritual master. And he was molding his life, his entire existence, to serve and follow the instructions of his Gurudev. Thus he always felt his proximity. Not the physical proximity, but the proximity of the Vani, of the instruction. Because the instruction is eternal. The physical form, it is temporary. We cannot associate with the physical guru for a very long time. Because it is the nature of this world. Nothing lasts very long in this world. But the instructions are eternal. So we can learn from Srila Prabhupada how to always meditate, how to always make plans. It is stated in the Shastra that a pure devotee is 24 hours absorbed in meditating on how to carry out the orders of the spiritual master, making active plans. How can I carry out the order of my spiritual master? Because idle brain is a devil's workshop. As soon as our brain becomes idle, as soon as we get into survival mode, we just think of how to get by in this world. We're not actively making plans to do something for Guru's instructions. Then other types of plan making and other types of desires creep up. And they, you think, oh yeah, I could do this also on the side, and this would be nice, and that would be nice. And all of a sudden, you end up in a very dangerous situation. So active plan making, this means that we're utilizing our energy, we're utilizing our time to see what facility, what opportunities has Krishna given me to actually follow the orders of the spiritual master. Just like here, I can see here in Melbourne, Krishna has given you one of the best places in the world for practicing and preaching Krishna consciousness. Now, do we take this as a gift? Or do we take this just as a, okay, it's nice, but, you know, this and this and this and this and this is wrong, and this and this and this and this is missing. You've got a situation here where you can do everything to practice and preach Krishna consciousness. So, it's a very advantageous situation. We should not take it for granted. I just came from West Africa. People got no money and no peace of mind. They're just running wild here and there. Where is food? Where is money? You don't have that type of anxiety. Unstable political and economical situation. You're in Kazakhstan just a few weeks ago. Everything's illegal. You can't do festivals. You can't distribute books. You'll be put into jail. So here, no worries, mate. It's all good. So what's holding us back? So let us make plans how we can distribute Krishna consciousness to all the people of this area. Not only preach to the converted. I was in Jagannath Puri during Rath Yatra, and it was very hot. And I was looking around, and there was more than 1 million people on Cart Street, and it really felt like 1 million people. It was pretty congested. Just to get there was a major endeavor, a major struggle. Not as bad as Kumbh Mela, but still up there in the top five. So, and I had a bag with me with 100 books, and I wanted to distribute them. But my mind told me, you're preaching to the converted. You're trying to sell ice cubes to the Eskimos. It's like, can you sell sand to somebody who lives on Bondi Beach? They're not going to buy your sand. They're already the devotees. Look, they all came here for Rath Yatra. They're all devotees. So why are you wasting your time? Then I was looking around, and I saw people smoking, I saw people drinking, I saw people engaged in fish eating and this and that. Yelling, cursing, intoxicated and all sorts of things. And I realized, they may be devotees of some sorts, but there's a long way to go. So, they need these books. But still I was thinking, it's too hot and it's too difficult and the crowd is too intense. So I just took shelter under some near one restaurant, and the guards were kind of tolerating me, but they were always pushing people away because everybody wants to get into the businesses to get shelter from the hot sun and like that. So at one point, they just lost their patience and just kicked me out. They just sent me away. Now sometimes, when you feel rejected, that is the best opportunity. And then there was lightning and thunder. And everybody went, ah, Jai Jagannath. And big torrents of rain came down, and the whole place cooled down. And I said, okay, all right, this is a sign. You got to go now and do your thing. So all the books went in a couple of hours, just before the parade, because afterwards it got too mad. If you've ever been in Puri Rath Yatra, it's quite an experience. I mean, people think they go to watch, you know, Aussie Rules or this or that, and they think, or Tug of War. But if you've been in Ratha Yatra and you see what goes on there, it's full on. And Lord Jagannath comes out of the temple and he's so intoxicated. He's shaking back and forth and he's got a big turban and a big crown on it and it's waving like a huge fan. And the crowd goes wild and everybody just runs. Like thousands of people just run. And it's very dangerous. Huh? Always people get trampled and the next day there's heaps of shoes everywhere. So, but the amount of enthusiasm that's there, just to get darshan, just to see the Lord, just to touch the car, just to touch the ropes. So much dedication, so much sincerity. And here we are in the Lord's temple. And we think, another day, 16 rounds, it's Saturday. We're slightly hungover from the Jamashtami and Prabhupada Vyasa Puja feast. We're slightly despondent. Why? Too much opulent Mahapurusha. So what is the remedy? You drink more water, you eat less food, and you do a little bit of physical service. Huh? So Krishna has blessed us by ample opportunities for serving the mission of the spiritual master. But if we think, no, I got to do it my way, I can only serve in this way, I can't serve in that way, then we will think, oh, Gurudev has not written me a letter in 7 years. Does he even know that I still exist? And so on. Gurudev has not posted pictures on Facebook for the last 72 hours. There must be something wrong with him. Doesn't he know I've got emotional needs here? Think he doesn't love me anymore. But we should understand, Guru is not cheap. Guru is one, as we heard. And he's got many different forms of how he manifests himself. And the instruction of Guru is one. Serve Krishna. And give Krishna consciousness to everybody. And for that we need the association of devotees. Because the devotees are very good to remind us of all these important instructions. Any other points? Yes, Prabhu.
So generally taking shelter of Prabhupada means, you know, we have to give up our attachments, you know, to things, to people, and that causes disturbance in our mind. So how to overcome that?
By adding more and more Krishna to your life, the less you will be attached to these other things. Now you may still have all those other things, but you can also use them in Krishna's service. But you're not focused, you're not primarily concerned with them. You see, the problem is not the things, the problem is our attachment to the things. You understand? The things are Krishna's property, so they're not a problem. The real problem is not the thing, the problem is my attachment to the thing. That what if it's not there? Or if some situation changes? So the more we become attached to Krishna and the Vaishnavas and the service, then the less our attachment will be invested in the things of this world. Because ultimately we'll have to leave behind everything, including this body, including this great mind, this great intelligence that we've worked so hard to polish and to fortify. People hit midlife, or they have an accident or a disease, and their mind or their intelligence becomes weaker. They become very disturbed. I've invested my entire youth to build up this powerful machine to prove to the world how great I am. And now it's a downhill race. It's very frustrating. Now sometimes this happens already after you're 16 or 18 years of age. It's not that the downhill race starts at 50. Actually, from the moment you're born, you're dying. Yes.
What if the things that we have are intricate to our service? So we should also be attentive to that. In other words, if something contemplates here, so we should be attentive to taking care of it and being concerned about the temple. Similarly, whatever position is given us, we should see it as is, but at the same time, we should be attentive to taking care of it nicely.
Yes.
So we have a family, we should be attentive to the family and take care of our family nicely, because that is also, they are also part of Krishna, and it's our responsibility.
The devotees of Krishna, and it's our responsibility to take care of them. Otherwise, we'll be neglectful. And it will be an offense. But then again, if we think that we are the proprietor and the enjoyer and the lord of all that I survey, Krishna will use his external energy to prove to us that we are none of these things. We're simply the servant. And it will be very painful. Because ultimately we cannot, nothing will last, nothing can be sustained on the long run. Even though no matter how hard we try. But the instructions of the spiritual master, they're eternal. And there's not a contradiction. Our mind is very small, so we always see things in contradictions, black and white. We think either I serve Guru and Krishna, or I take care of my material responsibilities. What about both? Huh? It's like if somebody asks you, what do you like? Do you want cake or samosa? You want both, right? So, but because we're very small-minded, we see that they're mutually exclusive, but they're not. There's no contradiction. Any last point? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanandi.